Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 35 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Escape.
This episode was written by Kenji Sugihara, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, the kids managed to rescue the Minicons from sideways while Starscream got Thunderblast back under his thumb. And in this episode, Sideways is threatening the kids.
Yep, we pick up where the last one left off, and he's headed up to here with these meddling kids. But before he can do anything, Jolt opens a portal for them to escape through.
Yeah, they reach another location in the ship and try to figure out how to shut down this electromagnetic shield, which Bud had totally forgotten about. And I've said it before, this kid is neurodivergent. It feels like some ADHD, but what I really like about it is they're just writing it in as a part of his character. It's not like, you know, like, what was the kid's name in G1? Chip Chase, in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
In G1, it was like, hey, he's in a wheelchair, but he's just as good as everybody else, where they kept, like, hammering it in. With Bud, it feels like they're writing him as, like, mildly ADHD, or more than mildly, but it's not like they're not making it known as it's a disability he's working with. It's just who he is.
Yeah, they're not beating us over the head with it. It's just, he's an 8-year-old kid. Yeah.
It's not like a big thing. It's just who he is. But anyway, we cut to Vector Prime and Scattershot and Red Alert, who are still in the Sky Dome, and they're trying to figure out how they can find the kids in the Minicons.
Yep, they can't find out where he is, so Vector Prime just tells them to keep looking. And now back on Transformers, as opposed to Scooby-Doo, Megatron and Optimus punch at each other, and Ransack shoots while yelling with Override's voice. Did you notice that?
Oh, I didn't.
And then it goes to Thunderblast, and her voice has dropped an octave again, and just has to find the Omega Lock and get the funk out of here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I wonder how many parents were like in the other room when this episode played and went, wait, what? Yeah, she doesn't want to do this, but figures she can't return to Starscream without it. So just leave, you dumb.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, she constantly allies herself to people who don't seem to give a shit about her or even remember she exists.
Oh, you're here. Well, here, you can do this. You don't want to do it, all right? Fine. Just go away.
Yeah, but anyway, she calls Starscream.
Yeah, and tells him she stole the Omega Lock, but needs help getting it to him. And why does he believe her? Like,
the thing
is the size of Primus's back. Like, yeah, I stole the CN Tower, John. I just need someone to go to Toronto and, you know, help me get it, right? Like, but either way, Starscream transforms,
Paul,
and flies off to give her a hand.
Oh, and also, he's just floating in space when she called him. But I'm pretty sure in the last episode he said he had things to go do. But he's just floating in space.
Well, yeah, it kind of reminded me of Cyrus and Trailer Park Boys. Like, fuck off, I got work to do. Like, he always just leaves in the middle of something.
Anyway, we go back to the kids, and Bud has to remind Lori and Kobe that they know the location of the system control room, I think they call it, and they could just warp there. So Jolt tries to open a warp gate, but he can't.
Yeah, he can't spin his rotors, I guess is the reason why, but he doesn't know why first. But then Sideways, who was just sitting there in jet mode listening to them when he could have been killing them, tells them he's created an energy field to stop all warping inside the ship.
There was a line, maybe it's in this episode, it might have been the last episode, but the kids comment on kind of what a weird dummy is, and they're right. He does not think things through.
No.
But the kids run, he transforms, this is a big transformation sequence, and then heaves his sword and it lands, like, impales in the ground and blocks their path, so they get stuck.
Well, it looks like they could easily run around it, but yeah, they do say they're trapped, and there's no hurry to do anything. Sideways just stands there while they talk about how there's a map entire ship on the communicator and they can upload it to Jolt's brain, like, but they'll need to distract Sideways, and I'm thinking, well, doesn't seem like that's very hard. He's just standing there right now.
Yeah. So Bud's, he uses the whole, hey, look behind you, it's Megatron. And he's like, yeah, right. And then Lori says, oh, no, we met, it's Optimus Prime. Because you know how everybody confuses those two.
Yeah.
And then he says something like, oh, yeah, I'm so stupid, I'm going to turn around and fall for this, as he turns around to look.
Yeah, and when he does, Kobe uses the communicator maintenance X-ray
hologram
Genesis
projector.
6-button controller thing to activate a fire sprinkler in the ceiling.
Yeah, and it blasts sideways. The kids all run, and then as they're running, Kobe's like, "Oh yeah, no, I did this a while ago." Like he hacked into the system. When? Like the Deus Ex of this little device is so annoying.
Well, I think Lori even asks, "All right, that's great, but why did you even think to do that?" And then Bud kind of says, "Oh, Kobe's a gadget head or something like that. He just did it to see if he could, probably more than anything." And I'm like, sure.
Whatever.
Back in the fight, Thunderblast is watching Optimus and Megatron, and oh, such power, those two. When Optimus and Leo Breaker, they realize this is a stalemate fighting Megatron with Nemesis Breaker, so to change tactics, they separate and run off.
And Megatron goes to follow him, but Thunderblast shows up and shoots him down, or he shoots him and he lands, and then insists she was just following orders, but won't say from who, and then conveniently, Starscream shows up.
Yep, here he is. You can ask him. And Starscream's like, "Man, I didn't tell her to do shit to you, but if you want to fight, I'm a fight." And now Optimus is back with Wingding, and they form Sonic Wing Mode. They really emphasize the Sonic part to let us know it's not some other Wing Mode, I guess.
And then Wingding tells Megatron they're going to put him on the, quote, express train to Loserville. And Optimus Prime is like, "To Loserville? Really?"
All it needed was like the record scratching sound right there with stop the music. Really?
So then Starscream decides he doesn't have time for this nonsense while Megatron and Optimus fight and the Omega Lock is right there, and he flees.
Yeah, then Thunderblast is going to use that distraction to head for the Omega Lock. Again, it's right there. And back with the kids, they remind us that if Jolt can't warp, neither can Sideways. So it's probably for the best that they just have to drive, but they need to get to the ship's engine room. And Jolt says, according to the map, they're in the engine room, so good thing he's there to explain things.
Yeah, and this is when they figure out that, like, Sideways has been doing repairs to the ship, although nothing's ever been wrong with it, so no. I don't know what repairs he's doing. But if they mess some of the machinery up, it'll attract Sideways there, and Kobe starts to do... You know what all this kid is missing is his anti-shark bat spray. Like, he has everything in his... This little device is everything, but he's got that, you know, he calls himself a tech head again. He's like, "As a tech head, it hurts me to even destroy this machinery, but I guess I'll have to."
Gotta do what you gotta do. And speaking of people that say that, we go to Earth, and Mudflap's like, "No, I can't trust the Decepticons anymore, but I can't go back to the Autobots either after what I've done, no." And then Motorcycle Guy, who I still don't think has a name.
No, I just call him Stoner, like, yeah, Cycle.
"Brother, I know what you mean. Wherever you are, there you are." Is some crazy line.
Which is not relevant. That line does not equate to anything, Mudflap. He says, "Wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are." That doesn't even apply to anything. But yeah, then he wonders where Starscream is. Commercial break.
And when we come back.
Break time's over, and I'm going to fix that damn shelf. Now hand me that bucket of invisible paint what I made you hold back in episode 2 or 3, whatever it was.
You're gonna paint the shelf now?
No, I needs it to stand on so's I can reach the shelf.
You're like 6'3". That shelf isn't even 5 feet off the ground.
Which one of us has a PhD in electrical engineering?
Nobody.
Exactly. Now hand me that bucket of invisible paint.
We can't.
Why not?
Well, it's not a bucket of invisible paint. It's actually an invisible bucket of paint.
Yeah, we don't know where it is.
Ah, Christ. Now I have to go find a footstool.
A big fucking footstool?
Shut up. Doby fucking Doby.
Anyway, so Starscream runs into Landmine and Smokescreen, who are chasing Ransack and Crumple Zone, and he attacks them just to take his mind off his own troubles when he could be going after the Omega Lock.
Yes. When it was right there, and Landmine calls him Deceptigoon. I think that's the first time we've ever heard that one. I kind of like it. But they both transform, but Starscream just smashes them one after they do. Like, they're not even standing there for a second. It's just bang, dead. And then it goes to Hotshot and Thundercracker, who uses his spinning laser attack again. He has a name for it, I forget what it was. But it nearly hits Starscream too, and everyone now is surprised that Starscream is here.
Yeah, and then Snarl is here. He joins the fight, and everybody attacks Starscream, who just flies away, even though he's like as big as all of them combined.
Well, yeah, and then from behind all the Autobots, as Starscream's fleeing, Thundercracker tells Starscream, "Yeah, that's right, run away, you yellow belly varmint." But then all the Autobots remember he's there, I guess. They turn and blast at him, too.
So we go back to the Mini-Cons and the kids who are at the door to the ship's control room. And Kobe uses his magic communicator tracker, x-ray, hologram, projector, whatever, that can now remotely trigger an explosion.
Yeah.
Which causes Sideways to run off and investigate.
Yep. And now he's like, oh, this is like the crummiest evil hideout ever. And he runs off to see what happened. And when he runs outside, though, Jolt is flying above the door, holding on to everybody else. I guess that's how he doesn't see them. And this is just stupid. Sideways gets to the engine room to see what the problem is. And he sees a picture the kids drew of him, I guess. And that pisses him off so much, he kicks the wall, which activates the garbage chute he's standing directly on top of.
I'm going to go back to my line about the anti-shark bat spray. This is on that level. Like, he just had... Do you know what actually it reminds me of? Is that Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns... I don't remember which one it is. Mr. Burns tries to open a trap door, and it opens, and, like, the guy is standing 4 feet to the right, and it just doesn't work. Like, how convenient he walks up to the exact spot, kicks the right point on the wall, yeah, and is over this chute. Anyway, he's fallen down this garbage chute and tries to warp away and then remembers, oh yeah, he turned on that electromagnetic magic field of whatever, and he can't warp away.
Yep, so he gets ejected out into space, and then a computer that we didn't see fall down with him, but apparently did, it comes out and just smacks him in the head.
So now the kids turn off the whatever it is that stopped the communications, and they contact the Autobots in the Sky Dome and tell them that Atlantis is Starscream's hideout, and it's on the dark side of the moon. And the Autobots are going to head their way.
Yep, Vector Prime says they'll be there soon, and we go back outside to Optimus and Megatron still fighting, and Vector Prime and the others run in. I guess Megatron just lets them talk. And they tell Optimus they know where the kids are, so Optimus separates from Wingding, which he just formed up with, to open a warp gate. And then Vector Prime, Scattershot, and Red Alert run through it, but before it can close, Ransack and Crumple Zone run through it too, because they're going to steal a starship.
And Optimus stays, and then combines with Wingding, even though he just separated from...
Yes!
I know he had to take the Matrix out of his chest, but I... Like, it's Optimus's chest, even when he's in super-duper sonic mode.
Oh, yeah, because Wingding kind of forms like an armor plate kind of thing. Maybe that's why. Okay, that kind of makes sense.
I think it was really just to burn more time with another combination scene. But he combines with Wingding, who insists they have Megatron on the ropes, and Optimus is just like, uh-huh. I just love that Optimus is, he's tired of Wingding's bullshit.
Already. They've only been doing this for a few episodes, but he's already sick of them. But Vector Prime's group arrives at the Atlantis ship, I called it, and then Crumple Zone and Ransack wonder why the Autobots care about the kids anyway, and Ransack says they know stuff about the Omega Block thingy, and they radio back to Megatron that they have info about the Elmira Lock thingy, and they want to be co-rulers of the universe.
I do like that when Ransack and Crumple Zone are talking about this, Ransack's like, hey, if we tell Megatron about this, he'll make us co-rulers of the universe, and then we can just have people destroy anything we want. And Crumple Zone's got this, like, it used to be about the smashing ourselves, and you've changed, man. I forget what he says, but that's the vibe.
Yeah.
So Megatron is then squaring off against Optimus, and he flies away into a warp gate to go, I don't know, do what to find the... Like, he had a chance to square off with Starscream and didn't.
Yep.
And now he's going to leave the Omega Lock to go square off with Starscream. So why would the Autobots chase him, which is what they're going to do? Like, just go grab the Omega Lock. It's right there.
Or at least some of you go grab the thing and defend it. Like, you all don't need to go, but Optimus worries about the children. And back in Atlantis, a portal opens all right, but it's Starscream that comes out, and he thinks it's time to move the ship to where no one will ever find it. So he yells to Sideways, you know, prepare for warp. But then Sideways just drifts past him in a daze from getting bonked earlier by that computer.
Now, I don't know why Starscream didn't just warp into the control room. He warped outside, but he gets to the control room and is about to activate the warp system, and the kids, without using, I don't think they use his Kobe's magic cell phone hologram projector, they're just like, I think the ship's about to warp.
He feels like this alien starship is about to go to warp because he's been on them enough in his life and experienced what it feels like so many times before. He's certain of it, but yeah, he's worried that if the ship warps, though, the Autobots won't be able to find them until they just contact the Autobots to tell them where they are, because his six button Genesis controller can figure that out like it did before. What are you worried about, man? Like,
In fact, Lori, for no reason, just says, oh, I think we've got 3 minutes.
Yes.
Now, in screen time, it's probably about 40 seconds because this happens fast. But then Vector Prime is just aware of the kids' plans to get into escape pods, even though they're nowhere near each other and haven't been talking.
Yeah, and now Megatron is here, and I guess it's Nemesis Breaker in robot mode that's with him, because I was like, who the hell is this guy? But yeah, he kind of has Leo Breaker's face. But Megatron's like, oh, we're too late. The thing is starting to warp away, and the escape pods that these kids ran to launch, but one of them smashes into sideways, was still just drifting around in a daze, and Vector Prime catches the other escape pod, but he says, oh, it's too late to save the other one. It's fallen back into the warp field.
And the other one was the one pod being that, for some reason, earlier Kobe said to Bud, hey, you get in that one, even though we see inside it, and they're massive. All three kids could have fit in one easily.
Yeah, easily.
Did I call it a pod bean?
I think you did, actually.
Hey, free advertising. TransformerNitpickers.podbean.com. They get away, and that one pod, escape pod bean, falls back to the ship with Jolt and Reverb, and they warp away with Atlantis, and they're gone. And then we cut to, I don't know why, but Bud is now asleep on the floor of Atlantis and not in the escape pod.
Yep, and he's dreaming about having a sundae. Every once in a while, the show beats me to it. I was thinking, if he has to keep the kids from getting to the controls for the jamming equipment, then why not just go where they are and keep the kids out? And Sideways did. Good job. Instead of keeping an eye out for 3 kids and 3 minicons, now he only has to watch 1 door. But then he falls for their distraction and leaves the door wide open when he goes to check it out. Now, dear listener, if you work in a warehouse or a restaurant or anywhere there's food, really, you know you have to shut the door behind you because mice. And that's exactly what the kids' minicons are to Sideways in this situation. Little things that can sneak in and fuck shit up if you don't take steps to prevent it. Open the door, go out the door, close the door, lock the door. You know damn well this is where they're going to try to get to Sideways. It was the whole point of being in there in the first place, wasn't it? To make sure they didn't get in? Oh, something in the engine room blew up. But who cares? Ship's still in one piece. In fact, there's your answer, man. Deal with these guys. Blow some more shit up. Like, whatever's providing oxygen and keeping the place warm enough for kids to walk around without spacesuits. Or maybe start with that. At the very least, turn off the gravity again. That ought to slow them down. Up until now, you're just using this place as a hideout. It doesn't need to fly anywhere. It doesn't need to look...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. The episode we just watched and reviewed was Escape. Paul, what would you hang around for?
It's another kid-heavy episode, but unlike the last one, not quite as good, but it's not a bad episode. A lot of stock footage, I guess you'd call it, like a lot of really detailed transformations. Like they really seem to be padding this one out to turn a 5-minute story into a 20-minute episode.
Yeah, we referenced the whole like Optimus and Wing Ding combine, then separate, then recombine. But this is good stuff.
Even the second time they did it, they did the whole song and dance. Like usually when they do the same thing twice in an episode, the second time they just kind of get through as quick as they can, right? But this time it's the whole thing.
But on that, I really did like Optimus's continued and growing annoyance with what a idiot Wing Ding is. Like just, yes. Oh yeah, huh? he's out of patience. Yeah. And the kids, I will say this about the kids, what they did, like their actions make sense, even though they're doing things they would have, like they shouldn't know what they know. Like they're like, oh, we're obviously in the control room.
How does she know it's going to be 3 minutes?
Yeah. How did she know it was 3 minutes? How did they know where the escape pods were? How did a lot of stuff? And you know, Kobe's magic cell phone hologram projector thing is just, it's whatever, it's magic.
Yeah, I just called it his magic Genesis 6 button controller. So I wonder if that's going to be like a permanent thing in the show now. Like he's always going to have that, kind of like Penny's computer book and Inspector Gadget.
You know what? If he does have it through the rest of the series, I'd be okay with that. At least, you know, they introduce something and they keep it. If he ditches it in an episode or two, I'm going to be kind of cheesed because it does everything you need. Hold on to it.
Yeah.
The next episode we're going to review is Family. If you want to be a part of the growing Tfinpus family, you can email the show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yep. Make sure you rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, whatever you listen to Extreme with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com and join the Tfinpus family and keep on transforming.
See you later. Fuck off, I got work to do.